Hi, everybody. Welcome to All About Skin. This podcast is brought to you by the Orangereich Medical Group in New York City. I am Jody LaGerfo, family nurse practitioner certified in dermatology and family medicine. Today, we'll be answering your questions about hair loss. So let's get started. So, a big question that we receive all the time, either by email or when a patient comes in, is why is my hair falling out? So I do a lot of work with hair loss. I've learned from the best, from all, you know, Dr. Orangereichs have taught me so much about hair loss, and I've studied it extensively. In truth, there's so many different variables and so many different types of hair loss that we see in practice. But truthfully, the most common is patterned hair loss, either female pattern or male pattern baldness. So what I wanted to do, we'll have a series of podcasts about hair loss, but I really wanted to give a general overview about hair loss, really like a generalization to touch upon it. And, you know, we have a lot more podcasts coming up on the topic as well as other topics, but really an overview to introduce it. And then we can, you know, delve further into the different types of hair loss. So really, what's the hairy truth about hair loss? So really, just an overview. We know hair loss can affect the hair on your scalp or on your body. So sometimes a patient will come in, they have hair loss on their scalp. Sometimes a patient will come in and say that they're losing their eyebrows or they're losing their eyelashes or their body hair. So either which way, it can be equally disturbing. But it can affect either hair on your scalp or hair on your body. And there's many different causes. We have the hereditary factor. We have the hormonal factor. We have medical conditions. And we have medications. So in terms of heredity, there's really nothing we could do, you know, about that. We inherit the tendency for hair loss from either side of our family, our mother's side or our father's side. In terms of hormones, we're talking about testosterone, dihydrotestosterone, even a woman in terms of menopause, estrogen. So all these hormones have a role in hair loss. Medical conditions, there's certain types of hair loss that are autoimmune, like alopecia areata. There's autoimmune type of hair loss that causes scarring, like cicatricial alopecia. So we also, you know, see that often. And then other medical conditions, someone who's having chemo, that can cause hair loss. And then, of course, there's medications. And in terms of medications, I always tell patients, when we look at a package insert of a drug, the majority of the time, hair loss is listed as a side effect. I would say probably 8 or 9 times out of 10. But does it really cause hair loss? It's hard to say. We use a database that actually has clinical cases of actual hair loss, you know, related to a medication. But that's also something that we delve into when a patient comes in and, you know, go over their medical history and see what kind of medications they're taking. Excessive hair loss on the scalp is a major concern for men and women. I won't say equally. Women tend to be more affected by it. You know, in a woman, their hair is like their crown and glory. It's so important to them. Men are more apt, let's say, to shave their heads. But a woman, it really becomes psychologically extremely stressful for them. So overall, it becomes really important for us to find out like what the cause is, because that really will guide the treatment, you know, and give us an idea of what we're doing. So what are the symptoms? A lot of the time a patient will come in and they'll say, I have hair loss. It can be either sudden or gradual, like over time. It can affect your scalp. It can affect your body hair. Sometimes it just affects your scalp. Like with patterned alopecia, like androgenetic alopecia or male or female pattern baldness, or it can affect all your hair on your body and your scalp, like with alopecia areata or alopecia universalis. There's could be gradual thinning on the scalp hair, and that is more likely with female pattern or male pattern baldness. Same thing with recession. We see frontal recession, recession at the peaks, you know, those two points on either side of our temples, or on the top of the scalp, or on the crown. Usually, again, that's associated with pattern type of alopecia, male or female pattern. Then you have patients who come in with circular spots or patchy bald spots. That's more indicative of alopecia areata, even cicatricial or scarring alopecia. Sometimes a patient comes in with many different symptoms, so we do a biopsy to really try to decipher because it's not so clear. There can be a sudden loosening of the hair. In other words, when you run your fingers through your hair, you have lots of shedding hairs coming out. And then, of course, there's full body hair loss. We see patients with, you know, rapid and complete loss of hair on their scalp, their eyebrows, their eyelashes, and their body hair. Sometimes the hair loss is associated with scaling. So all of these symptoms are indicative of hair loss, but they each can be specific for the certain type of hair loss that the patient has. Sometimes they have multitude of symptoms that could be, you know, could run the gamut of one hair loss, two types of hair loss. So really, it's important to know the symptoms, but the history also can put things in perspective. And like I said, sometimes we do a biopsy to see. So a big question is, when should I seek treatment for my hair loss? So in general, I tell people if they send me an email asking or they ask me on Instagram, you really should come in when you first notice that you're losing hair. Because with hair, time is of the essence. It's important to treat hair loss as soon as we see it, because we do know with androgenetic or male pattern or female pattern hair loss, there's progressive loss of hair over time. And the longer it goes untreated, the less likely the hair will regrow. If it's alopecia areata, we want to see the patient, or scarring alopecia, we want to see the patient sooner than later, because again, it starts to fall out. You know, particularly with alopecia areata, it can be rapid. With cicatricial or scarring alopecia, the hair does not grow back. So again, swift treatment regardless of the type of hair loss. You should always seek treatment when you first notice that it's happening. The other times is if it distresses you or makes you very stressed. So a lot of the time a woman will come in and they'll say, I'm losing my mind because my hair is falling out. If it's psychologically stressing you, you should seek treatment. Because number one, it'll calm you. Once you start treatment and the hair starts to regrow a little bit and you're having success, your psychological state will improve. You also don't want to make yourself go crazy with your hair. So as soon as it really starts to stress you, I recommend that patients come in. Also, another thing is if you want treatment, you know, if you're looking at yourself, you're saying my hair is thinning, it could be a little better. It's always important to go with your gut. If you feel like you're losing some hair, you should get an appointment, come in, and then we do a workup and, you know, see actually what's happening and start treatment as soon as possible. Of course, again, the most immediate thing to do, if you notice sudden and patchy hair loss that's quick, you should make an appointment right away. Also, another thing is if you notice more hair loss than usual, in other words, when you're combing or washing your hair, you're seeing a lot come out, you want to seek treatment also, because even though it could be temporary, it's normal to lose 100, 150 hairs a day, it still may be excessive. And we start to notice hair loss when the amount of hair that's shed exceeds the amount that's actually regrowing, and people start to notice their hair is thinning. If hair thinning is accompanied by itching or burning or the scalp is scaly, of course, you should come right in. So those are all really, really important things. What's considered normal? Again, it's normal to lose 150 hairs a day. Normal shedding usually doesn't cause noticeable scalp thinning because the new hair is growing at the same time. When you look at a hair and it has that little bulb on the end of it, that means that there's a new one behind it pushing it out. Hair loss, again, occurs when the rate of shed, what you're losing, is more than the rate that you're regrowing, or if there's disruption in a hair cycle, or if the hair follicle is destroyed, which can happen with scarring alopecia. What are some of the causes? Again, we're talking family history, genetics. We're talking hormonal changes. For example, pregnancy, childbirth, menopause, thyroid conditions. Autoimmune conditions can cause hair loss. Different types of medications or supplements. Radiation therapy, particularly on the head, can cause hair loss. Certain hairstyles. We notice in a lot of African Americans, when you're pulling the hair, braiding the hair, you can get what's called traction alopecia. They lose hair in areas where there's constant tension on the hair itself. And then in the age of bariatric medicine or people having weight loss surgery, people with extreme weight loss tend to have a lot of hair loss. And that can happen as a result of the weight loss surgery. Once the weight is stabilized and they're eating normally, the hair tends to regrow. It's a temporary phenomenon, not something that occurs extremely often. Who's at risk? So again, if you have family history on either of your parents' side, you are at risk for hair loss. You know, sometimes a patient will say, no, but my mom had a full head of hair. It could be on your dad's side. It could have been, you know, your dad's mom or your grandparents' mom. It could be anybody. Also your age. As time goes on, hair is replaced at a slower rate. So with aging, we know that we're replacing the hair that we're losing every day as a normal part of a hair cycle less frequently. Also, if you're perimenopausal or postmenopausal, you're more likely to be at risk for hair loss. Again, that significant weight loss is another one. And certain medical conditions like diabetes, lupus, thyroid, or other types of autoimmune diseases. In general, can hair loss be prevented? Well, let's put it this way. Genetics cannot be prevented. Our genetics are what we're made of. Unfortunately for us, there's nothing we could do about it, but we can treat your hair loss sooner than later. Also, in terms of prevention, you want to avoid a tight hairstyle, like a ballerina pulls their hair all the way back. Braids, buns, ponytails, keep them loose so they're not putting that tension on the hair. Try not to compulsively pull or twist or rub your hair. A lot of the time when someone's anxious, they're twirling their hair, you can have hair loss as a result of that. I always recommend that my patients use a wide tooth comb when they're combing their hair, particularly when they get out of the shower, so they decrease the combing forces. You want to avoid harsh treatments, for example, like hot oil treatments. Highlights are a whole other story. Really, when you're doing highlights, you know, it's a two-step process. You're bleaching the hair can break. So we see a lot of hair damage as a result of doing things like that. So we definitely want to recommend that, a one-step process in terms of coloring your hair, particularly if you don't have great hair to begin with and the hair is really fine. You also want to avoid certain medications and supplements that can cause hair loss. This is a little controversial because truthfully, if you have a medical condition and you need a certain medication, you can't avoid it. So I always tell the patient, see what you're taking. Let's review the list. If it's something significant, something that we know 100% is causing the hair loss, I usually recommend them talk to their primary care, whoever's prescribing the medication, and then we try to work out taking something else. You want to protect your hair from the UV light. You know, when you go to the beach, wear a hat. They sell UV spray for hair. That's always a good idea. Again, UV light will weaken that hair shaft and make it a little more broken. And of course, don't smoke. That goes without saying. So that's all we have time for today. Please email your questions to allaboutskin@orintrike.com. Have a great day, and remember to take care of the skin you're in.